days among God's people, if an ox was being used to tread the grain, God forbade his people to put a muzzle on the ox so that it couldn't eat. Since this animal, this ox, was doing hard work, it should eat some of the grain that it was treading down. God cared about the animals and that they weren't just to be slaves of human beings. Something else was going on. Now, St. Paul applies this to the work of the ministry. When there is ministry, teaching, the sort of stuff that pastors do, there should be material benefits from this. This is how it is in God's economy. Now, we should understand this. It shouldn't be too far away from our normal way of thinking. For example, if a plumber comes to your house and does work, you pay the plumber, right? If you take your car to a mechanic and the mechanic does work on your car, you pay the mechanic. If you send your kids piano lessons, you pay the piano teacher. It's simple justice to give people wages for the work that they do. You know, it seems to me in the Lutheran Church of Australia we have a pretty good system going for paying for pastors. Well, you'll get the same wage. Before I came to Bethlehem, I was in a small country congregation. I got the same wage there as I do here. Pastor Joshua and I have been serving different lengths of time in ministry. We get the same wage. We're well taken care of by the parish. Got a place to live in, no worries. Generous support from people, good Christian people. It's God-pleasing, it seems to me, and we've got a good system. But imagine if you had a plumber and you said, well, I don't feel like paying you. Or you took your car to a mechanic and drove away without paying the bill. Or you sent your kids to piano lessons and never paid the piano teacher. Wouldn't there be something wrong? There would be. We'd know something's wrong, not just in our worldly sense, but in a spiritual sense. We would be stealing from those people, breaking the commandment, do not steal. Now, in the church, we have service from ministers. If we take and never give back, something is going wrong spiritually. It's good to know this and to think about it. But it's not the centre of today's sermon, because it's not the centre of what St. Paul is talking about in this particular text that we had today. In this text, St. Paul is talking mainly about supporting poor Christians in need. So let's go on now to think about what the text is saying. Listen to this. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, we want you also to excel in this generous undertaking. Now, it doesn't explicitly say in that text what this generous undertaking is. We have to go elsewhere in Scripture to find out. And what it is a collection of an offering for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. This is a big deal. It's a big deal for Paul. So, for example, in Galatians, he talks about going to meet the church leaders in Jerusalem. And he says, they asked only one thing, that we remember the poor, which was actually what I was eager to do. So St. Paul was eager to help the poor. This plea came from the Christians in Jerusalem. And the Corinthian Christians were also eager to do this. They had more money and were willing to help out poor Christians in Jerusalem. They actually got their act together and gave an offering, because in Romans, you read what happened. At the end of Romans, you read these words. St. Paul writes, at present, however, I'm going to Jerusalem in a ministry to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia, that's where Corinth is, have been pleased to share their resources with the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. They got there. Now, in this letter, we're about halfway through the process. And St. Paul here is coming not in a heavy-handed way, but an encouraging way. So this is what he writes. I do not say this as a command, but I'm testing the genuineness of your love against the eagerness, the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. Now there's the Christ focus, the gospel coming out in how St. Paul teaches about giving. He's drawing the attention of the Corinthian Christians onto God's generosity in Christ, and the way this frees us to think about money in a different way. It seems to me there are two basic errors that we can make regarding money, two errors that the gospel frees us from. Here's one error. We think that we'll never have enough, that we lack. We worry with anxiety about our financial situation. We're weighed down by it and we can't see into the future. This is an error, not a great way of thinking. Our Lord Jesus Christ encourages us to receive each day as a gift, knowing that there's trouble in each day, but assuring us that a Heavenly Father will take care of us. He wants us to live not with anxiety, but with peace that comes from understanding God's generosity in Christ. So that's one error. It seems to me another error is to think money will give us everything that we need, to expect too much from money. Money can't do things like forgive our sins. Money can't give us inner peace. Money can't raise us from death into life. If we treat money as if it's God, it's a false God, and it can't give us the things we most need as human beings. Now, God knows we need material help. The Lord Jesus says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things, like clothing and food and shelter. It's no joke. But these things aren't God. Again, hearing of the generosity of God in Christ Jesus helps us see money for what it is. Something that we need to live by, something that we can be sure God will provide us with day by day, but also not God. It can't give us the gift that God gives. Now, St. Paul goes on to give not his commands, but his advice to Christian people about how to help those in need in this particular context. He writes, "And in this matter, I'm giving my advice. It's appropriate for you, who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now to finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means." Now, the idea is that in the previous year, the Corinthian congregation, if you like, had an AGM where they voted together to support the poor Christians in Jerusalem. They had the desire to do it. Not only did they have the desire to do it, they actually got the congregation started in raising the money for the appeal. And then it sort of petered out. Now, St. Paul is not commanding them that they have to do it. This is an act of generosity, of freedom. But he is giving them advice that it would be a great thing to do and a real opportunity to show Christian love for others in need. And he goes on to write these words. "For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it's a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it's written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little." He's here encouraging the Christians to think about having a fair balance in this world. At the moment, in Corinth, they had plenty. And so they were able, according to their means, not beyond their means, to share with those who had very little. The time might come in the future when they would have not much and receive support from others. It's a good way to think, to take a genuine stock of the blessings that God has given and to share according to means, especially to those who don't have enough. You know, it's been part of the life of this congregation to support Christians who don't have so much in their pockets in very practical ways. I'll give you one way that comes to mind immediately. My last congregation was not a wealthy congregation. Got by just year by year and didn't have a lot of money at all to support the wider church. This congregation, however, traditionally, has usually been able to support the wider district with a lot of money to help things like support, training of pastors, these sorts of things. If you like, you could say, from our abundance, we create a sort of equality in the church where small congregations who can't do so much still can receive the benefits of educated pastors trained for service in the ministry. And that's just one example of many examples that we could think about. St. Paul here is not encouraging people to have pressure on them to relieve others. but to create a fair balance so that people together may give thanks to God for his generosity and for the way that he creates a community of loving people. You know, when it comes to money and possessions, if we think about our possessions in a narrow way, only looking at what we have, we will always keep our fists closed and we will always keep our wallets in our pockets. No one needs to teach us to do this. It's what we'll do naturally, right? But when the gospel is proclaimed to us, we start to understand how generous God is. And we start to understand what money is. Something that we need, something that we use day by day, but not God. Well, thanks be to God that he draws us into a community where the gospel is proclaimed, where we hear about the generosity of God in Christ Jesus, where our sins are forgiven, even though we make many mistakes, where we have encouragement in living out the life of Christian faith, even if our hearts sometimes feel cold, and where we can hear together the call of our Lord Jesus Christ from out of the darkness of death into the light of life with God. This is good news. Our Lord is generous to us in Christ Jesus, and it's his generosity that frees us to think about our wealth well and to use it for the benefit of all and to the thanks of God. Let's stand. For the peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.